Have you ever spent hours crafting the perfect Instagram caption, only to delete the entire post because it didn't get enough likes in the first 5 minutes? Or felt your stomach drop when scrolling through a friend's vacation photos, suddenly convinced your own life is painfully ordinary? We live in an age where a 22-year-old takes selfies at her godmother's funeral because, as she explains without irony, "I look good. It's always appropriate." This isn't just vanity run amok. It's the symptom of something far more dangerous. Behind the filters and carefully curated feeds lies a mental health crisis decades in the making, where the gap between who we are and who we think we should be has become a chasm swallowing lives whole. Hospital admissions for eating disorders among young women jumped 172% in a single decade. Self-harm reports doubled. Young men increasingly suffer from muscle dysmorphia, injecting steroids to match impossible ideals. The woman who woke up furious in a hospital bed after swallowing 90 pills had spent her entire life trying to become the person others expected, first her mother's version, then her husband's, always falling devastatingly short. Her story reveals the lethal endpoint of what researchers call social perfectionism, the belief that others demand perfection from you, making your worth entirely dependent on fulfilling impossible roles. We're not just dealing with low self-esteem anymore. We're watching people destroy themselves, trying to become fantasy versions that can never exist. For hundreds of thousands of years, survival depended on tribal acceptance. Being valued meant protection and resources. Being rejected could mean death. Our brains evolved an internal status tracking system that never shuts off. We process social rejection in the same brain regions as physical pain. When researchers excluded people from a simple ball-tossing game, their neural responses mirrored physical injury. Every ignored text registers as a small wound. Social media amplifies this with endless potential rejections and visible metrics of our worth updated in real time. Tribal life created a fundamental contradiction. We needed to get along while also getting ahead. This tension bred competing drives for cooperation and competition, humility and ambition. Our brains became skilled at constructing narratives, casting us as moral heroes, more attractive and wiser than we are. This isn't conscious deception. It's how our minds naturally protect our fragile sense of self-worth.
Not everyone experiences selfhood like Westerners do. Ancient Greece celebrated radical individualism, personal glory, rational thought, individual perfection. Ancient China, shaped by collective farming and massive irrigation projects, developed a holistic worldview where everything exists in relationship. When researchers show people an aquarium scene, Westerners immediately describe the biggest fish. East Asians describe the entire ecosystem, plants, water, and how elements relate. These differences extend to suicide. Westerners often kill themselves feeling they've failed to become who they should be, the perfectionism we've been discussing. In Confucian cultures, suicide often represents sacrifice for family or group honor. Corporate leaders take their lives to restore company reputation, seeing themselves as inseparable from their organizations. Our Western obsession with individual perfection isn't universal human nature. It's one specific way of being human, shaped by particular historical and economic conditions. When ancient Greece collapsed into tyranny, the glory-seeking self died with it. Without freedom, fame became impossible. People turned inward as Stoics and cynics taught that civilization was corrupt and happiness lay in cultivating inner virtue. Christianity transformed the Western self even more radically. At Pluscarden Abbey, where Benedictine monks have lived since 1290, you can still experience this medieval Christian self. Monks follow St. Benedict's 6th-century rule. Death is stationed near the gateway of pleasure, and we are forbidden to do our own will. The ambitious Greek self had been replaced by one identifying as truly a worm, not a man. This self-lacerating model suited feudal society, where survival meant keeping your head down. Monastic life deliberately kills the old self through seemingly boring routines. That's the point. Yet Christianity preserved something crucial from Greek thought, emphasis on progress and reason.
Unlike Islamic or Jewish texts considered God's literal word, the New Testament was understood as disciples' recollections, leaving space for study and debate. This combination, Christian humility plus Greek rationality, would eventually birth something entirely new.
America's founding documents promised equality and liberty, breaking from Europe's rigid hierarchies. By the mid-1800s, self-improvement books emphasized hard work, but America went further, blending Christianity with ideas about invisible mental forces. Mary Baker Eddy's Christian Science located all sickness in the mind, while Francis Lord's Prosperity Gospel taught overcoming poverty through mental affirmation, replacing toil with thought. The Great Depression and World War II narrowed income gaps, while automation moved farm workers to cities. Corporate life emphasized collective identity, breeding paranoid fears of conformity, crushing individuality. As the 1950s became the 1960s, corporate children became hippies, embracing Eastern concepts. The Esalen Institute pioneered yoga and meditation that venerated the self rather than traditional religion. Carl Rogers championed unconditional positive regard, believing humans naturally move toward perfection if freed from society's constraints. Esalen promoted the belief that we are gods, placing divine perfection with each individual. This created enormous expectations. If we're gods, why aren't we perfect? Neuroscience reveals an uncomfortable truth. There's no authentic inner self waiting to be expressed. We're collections of competing selves that shift with context. The people around us create what psychologists call a psychic mold we expand into. When men believed they were speaking with attractive women, they behaved differently, causing the women to actually become friendlier. Our expectations literally shape others' behavior. Our brains contain competing sub-agents battling for control beneath awareness. In one experiment, aroused men predicted far more immoral behavior than when non-aroused. We contain radically different moral codes depending on our state. The self-esteem movement was built on deliberate deception. When California Assemblyman John Vasconcellus created a task force to prove self-esteem prevented social problems, the lead researcher warned against overselling the data. They ignored him. By 2006, nearly two-thirds of college students scored above the 1979-1985 narcissism mean, a 30% increase. The brutal irony? Narcissism causes almost everything Americans hoped high self-esteem would prevent, including aggression, materialism, and shallow values. We're born with fundamental personality traits: openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, neuroticism, that remain relatively stable throughout life. These traits stem from inherited genetic differences in brain wiring, determined by thousands of genes functioning like dials set at different levels. Western culture sells the fiction that we're blank slates who can do anything, legitimizing inequality as personal failure. We're wired to assume others' minds work like ours, leading to harsh judgment. If I can do it, why can't they? Our culture glorifies a specific hero type: extroverted, slim, individualistic, optimistic, entrepreneurial, precisely the personality best equipped to succeed in our perfectionist age. The first step toward happiness is rejecting this propaganda and accepting who you actually are. Not in defeat, but with quiet understanding and strategic compensation. Instead of trying to change your core self, change your environment, the projects you pursue, the people you share life with, the goals you have. Like a lizard transplanted from an iceberg to the Sahara, you can transform your experience without changing your essence. Finding peace means accepting our imperfection and that of everyone around us, building lives that fit who we actually are, rather than destroying ourselves trying to become fantasies that can never exist.